Thank you, Pastor Zach. Yeah, I'm excited about pickleball. thank you. One other person is too. No. Here's a great thing about pickleball. You can be mature in age, well-rounded in shape, and still have a great time. So, and those of you who, I mean, it's just going to be a good time. Costa Rica is going to be super exciting. If you have an interest, we're going to be going the first week of June. So if you have an interest in that, that is coming, and it's just going to, you know, there's a lot of good things that we can plug into. This Wednesday night, our annual business meeting. Last year, it was a super successful meeting. Our elders and then people I actually pay to work here showed up, and so it was about 12 of us, and then a couple people who said, oh, we're not doing Wednesday night. There will be Wednesday night stuff for the kids and for the teenagers, but it's our annual business meeting, and what do we do during that meeting? Just give you an update on kind of how things have been, and we don't have anything to hide. A year ago, we had all of our books audited. I mean, it's just all, you know, it's just stuff that we want you to be aware of. We don't have anything that we're not willing to, hey, talk about, share about, so that's coming up. So I got a question for you. Has anybody, you're in the turn lane, and the person in front of you is on their phone. And then you give a little grace honk. They go and the light turns on you. Does that bother anybody but me? All right. I grew up in California. When we learned to drive, there's a thing in California. It's called a California stop. So when there's a stop sign, you pull up, you slow down, and then you go. Now, does anybody here actually at a stop sign stop to the point where your car rolls back? You know what I'm saying? Like you stop, literally like stop, and then your car kind of, or do you just kind of roll through? How many of you have had a ticket in the last year? Okay. How many of you should have gotten a ticket this last year? All right, here's the reason why I'm asking. We've got these cool Hope Church stickers that you can put on your car, providing you drive in a way that honors Jesus. If you don't drive in a way that honors Jesus, like Pastor Zach, we have stickers for other churches that we'd like to put on your car. Now, if you're not quite sure, you can ask the person next to you, should I have a sticker or shouldn't I? And they will tell you. Personally, I love our church and I can't have a sticker. but what I take instead, so people know that I like to hang out at Hope Church, is the You're Invited card. So if you feel like, well, I feel left out, well, change your driving or drive like you do and you can give people this card. When you think about chapter 6, really, you could call it kind of a road trip with Moses. Moses is taking a road trip with, you know, about 1 to 3 million children in the back seat complaining, are we there yet? And right, every road trip has a destination. Oh, by the way, last week I said I wasn't going to preach too long. Well, guess what happened? Zach said, Jim, you went 40 minutes. I said, it's impossible. Every time it's working now. You can tell there's a clock back there. Every time we change the slide, it reset. And so I was almost done with my sermon. I'm like, 10 minutes? I can't go 10 minutes. So I kept going. I'm on the clock is what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, so today on purpose, if you average it out over the, you know, 6 or 7 months, you get a pretty good average. All right, Moses has taken these guys, there's a destination. God says, was it 645 years earlier, I'm going to give you this promised land flowing with milk and honey. So he says that to Abraham. Now Moses takes the wheel. They drive out of Egypt in slavery. They drive across the Red Sea. They're through the desert of Sinai. And they end up at a place called Kadesh Barnea. Now, by the way, if this is your first time here, we're going through this thing called the story. We're taking a chapter every week, so you're not behind. Just grab a book on your way out, like $7. If you don't have $7, take it for free, and then you can be caught up perfectly next week. So they get to Kadesh Barnea, and it's kind of like, okay, I'm leaving Bentonville. I'm going to go through a couple of states, and the distance is over here in the Black Hills. So they get there, and then on page 74, what you're going to see in Numbers 13, God speaks to Moses. Now the Lord said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. Now you have to understand this next couple of words are really important. The land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he set out 12 men, all tribal leaders from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. Okay, so 12 tribes kind of equaling the 12 families of Israel. They're going out and they're gone for 40 days. So they come back and they give this report to Moses. Moses, this is incredible. This not only is a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at these grapes we're carrying. The grapes are so big, you know, they've got two guys carrying them. They said, this is the best thing you could ever imagine, except we have a problem. There are people who live there. And not only are there people who live there, there are a lot of people who live there. And not only are there people and a lot of people, some of the people actually look like giants. So even though everything is laid out perfect, we would recommend that we don't do this. Okay. Caleb is one of the spies. He says, pull the car over. Have you ever had one of those? Like, I remember when I was a little kid and we're driving cross country and my dad, you know, he's trying to like, you know, don't make me pull this car over, right? Caleb, some of you who are young people, you don't even realize before we had good seat belts, your parents were the seat belt. You'd be driving, they'd have to stop, they'd go, and they like whack you. And that's how seat belts were. For people like me, and we're actually still alive. It's amazing. Pull the car over, and this is what happens. Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We will certainly conquer it. God already told him, I'm giving this to you. Caleb says, let's do it. One other person who was a spy, Joshua, also believed in God. 10 other men say, no way. This can't be pulled off. It's not safe. 2 guys believe it, 10 guys don't. They convinced all of the people in the backseat of Moses' car, this is a bad idea, it's never going to happen. And then Moses speaks up, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of that land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Do you understand? You remember where they've already traveled? Think about the plagues and the miracles that God did when they were held captive by Pharaoh in Egypt. Then think about it. They crossed the Red Sea during flood season and the waters parted. We're talking about a big God. Then they needed food. God brought them food. They needed water. God gave them water. And you would think at this point, they would say, we serve a big God. Here's their response. The whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Wait, what? how did this happen and why did they not want to go in? There's really one simple answer. They're afraid. There were giant problems in the land, and they just couldn't believe that God was going to help them. Check this out. They knew the will of God, and they rejected it. What? They knew the will of God. God had already done so much for them, and they said, we're out. This is not a good idea. God is a God of love. We know that. But he's also a God that says, no, I want you to take me seriously. I want you to understand that when you think you have a better plan than my plan, have you ever been in your car and all of a sudden your Google Maps says recalculating? When we first moved to Bella Vista, I don't even think our Google map could comprehend Bella Vista. You know, it would just be spinning. Like, where do we go? We don't know. Well, here's what happens, and let's say that it could happen to them, and it can happen to us. God says, wait, I've given this to you. And now instead of you going where I promised you, you're going to make a U-turn. You're going to make a U-turn and you're going to go back towards that Red Sea. And because of the choices you're making, I'm going to send you deep into the wilderness. I'm going to treat you like the people who reject me and don't even know me, because that's how you're acting. I am your God and you're living like practical atheists. So let me show you what it looks like when I'm your enemy. And I read these words and I can't help but say to myself, Jim, how many times in your life has God done so many things and then you still don't want to trust him? And you still don't want to believe. And listen to what goes on here. I mean, I can't read the whole thing. There's a lot of chapters and a lot of stuff going on, but this is kind of what happens. Now tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in this wilderness. Because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb and Joshua. You said your children would be carried off as plunder. I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you will drop dead in the wilderness, and your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you dies in the wilderness. You know, I've been a pastor a long time, and I've heard people say, you know, I can do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. It doesn't affect anybody. It's just not true. The sins that we commit have consequences. And look at the children here. Their children had to lose their childhood, their young adult years, because of the sins of their parents. I am not convinced that we can sin in a vacuum and it doesn't affect anybody else. And this is a great example of this. It goes on and it says, because your men explored the land for 40 days, you're going to wander for 40 years, suffering the consequences of your sin. Then you will discover what it is like to have me for an enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. It's almost like a courtroom. Hey, things are going great. Fun ride, you know, we're taking off. Oh, there's the destination. We're almost there. We've got, you know, the heads of the tribes, the families. They're going to check out, you know, do we want to go over here? Do we want to see this? Do we want to see that? And all of a sudden, it all comes to a halt. They're so close, they can touch it. But they said, you know what, God, you didn't do it the way I thought you would. You didn't do what I thought you should do. And so I'm not going. And God says, okay. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will certainly do these things to every member of the community that has conspired against me. They will be destroyed here in the wilderness, and here they will die. I couldn't help but, while I was reading and studying this, to think about a foundational principle for everyone who calls himself a Christ follower, everyone who wants to be on the side of God. And the principle is this: life is best lived in the will of God. You align yourself with His priorities, and life will go better for you. When we think we can align ourselves with the world and God will bless that, it's not going to happen. And justice delayed doesn't mean justice denied. And this is such a powerful, powerful story. And this is what happens after you've been a Christian for a while. You think you're good. You're so good that a committed Christian in America comes to church one out of three Sundays. You're so good, you kind of, I don't need to pray today. I don't need to read my Bible today. I know, you know, Jim, I've already read what you're talking about. Okay. You're so strong that you haven't shared your faith in years. That the people at work look at you just like they look at everybody else. We're no different. And this kind of puts a little stab in my heart and says, Jim, like, God's not a joke. You don't just say, I follow Him, I'm a believer, and then you don't do anything that causes you to be a believer. And I was like, whoa, okay. They were right there to the promise of God, and they turned the other way. Now, when I think about this, and I think about some of the guys who wrote the New Testament, I was drawn to John, where he is exiled to an island in his latter years, and he kind of writes a story like a grandpa. Hey, I love y'all. I care about you. Yeah, my faith has cost me. I'm on an island. But let me give you some last thoughts on what it looks like to stay on the straight and narrow. I have observed, John is saying, some of these sharp turns. I remember coming home one night, we came around a corner, beautiful Corvette, spun out like parts kind of all over. Old guy, young girl, pulled up. I'm like, hey, can I help? Can we call? No, don't call the police. We're fine. And I thought, not sure of the story, but I can tell you this, you were trying to impress her, and your car was a little more than you could handle, as there were parts of this beautiful Corvette all over the road. And John is saying, hey, there's some sharp corners. And if you're not aware of them, you can get in trouble. This is what John writes. I mean, this is like a spiritual driving test. He says, do not love this world or the things it offers. For when you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. And you're like, well, I don't love the world. I love God. And he says, well, let me clarify a little bit about that. For the love of the world only offers cravings for physical pleasure. So it's when we trade faithfulness to our families and we accept the things that are perverted. Do you know, if you've read the story this week, the plagues weren't really the bad thing. It was the women that the Israelites, the foreign women that they brought in and did all kinds of things they shouldn't have done. And God was not happy. And this applies to us today. And then it says, and the craving for everything we see. Well, I've kind of been looking at this and looking at that. Man, if I just had a car like that, that would be really good. Then I take my little boat on the river that I paid $500 for. Well, my trailer was free. He wanted $100 for it, but he didn't tell me there was a boat on it. And I said, no, you have to give this to me for nothing. He said, what do you mean for nothing? I said, let me ask your wife if she wants to get rid of this. And let me ask your neighbors if it's an eyesore. He said, okay, you can take it for free. But when I see my little boat and I look at other boats, sometimes I'm like, well, I would like that boat. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I mean, it's one thing it's another thing to be so driven by those things. Remember the people that God chose? He brought them out of Egypt, but there was still a little Egypt in them. They had an idol that they started to worship. And we talked about this already, when Moses is up getting the commands from God and how they should live, they're already worshiping an idol. What is idol worship? It's just putting the stuff that we ought not put in front of God, right? You know, we used to love people and use stuff. Now we love stuff and use people to get our stuff. And I'm not against having all kinds of things. But what we have to be careful of is when our things have us. We can crave everything we see. And just let me ask you this. How's your spending? How's your debt? That's a big deal. And your debt and your spending actually equals your spirituality. Right? I mean, you just have to be honest with it. It's amazing, and this has been the best year Hope Church has ever had, so I'm not like having an agenda with this. But the fact is, a lot of people who call themselves believers, I love God, I want to follow God, they give nothing to the work of God. How is that even possible? Like, I'm going to trust all eternity, Jesus, I'm saved and I'm going to be with him. But I can't trust him with 10% of my income here. What do you think God says about that? Don't look at me. I love you and I have no idea what you give or don't give. I actually have no idea. I purposely don't even look at that stuff. And some of you, when you're trying to buy a t-shirt or something, you try to give me money. I'm like, no, give it to Kevin. Just because I don't do that. But I can tell you this. My family tithes. Cher and I we've been tithers for all our lives. Why? Because it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And I can guarantee you this. Me trying to live off of 100% does not work nearly as well as me living off of 90% and then a little bit more and let God take care of the rest. But you see, this is mature faith. And these people thought they were mature. Hey, I mean, we've seen God do miracles. We've walked through the Red Sea, but God, no. We're going to purposely reject your will. Wow. Why do we reject God's will today? Because we want to have something we can't afford. And so we spend. And you know the number one reason people get divorced? It's over money conflict. Whoa. It goes on, though. Check this out. He says, not only we crave for everything we see and pride in our achievements and possessions. Like because of what we have, we think we're better than somebody who doesn't have as much. Do you know that God used Moses and Aaron to free the people? And then Aaron kind of had a little bit of an attitude. Well, you think God's just going to use Moses? And Miriam, right? What happened to her? Oh, let's just have a little bit of leprosy. Guarantee you that'll affect your day when you try to go out to lunch today. What's wrong with your hand? I don't know, it just fell off. God was saying to them, you know what, Aaron, I can use you, but who do you think you are? Well, I'm important, not just that Moses guy. Hey, come on, guys, we do this. No one has ever asked me, hey, how do you treat your family and do your kids love you? It's like, what do you do? What do you mean, what do I do? What do you do? You got to see whether I look up to you or down at you. We're in a community full of, look at me, aren't I special? My family's a wreck, but aren't I special? I work 95 hours a week so I can buy things I can't afford and I never see my family. My life is great. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. You young people need to hear this. You want to have a successful relationship? Then you put God first. It's not like, well, I just have God here. God. No, God has to be part of a relationship. God has to be part of your finances. God has to be part of your thought life. Because the world wants to drag us away. And this is what happened to God's chosen people. They didn't focus on God, they focused on themselves. Wow, that's bad. It's really bad. Here's a foundational principle that I want you to take home today. Your life is best lived when you're seeking to do the will of God. That's a bottom line. You can make every excuse you want to make. You can make every this, every that, and you can justify everything, and I'll just agree with you. Yeah. I love you. I agree with you. But there's going to come a point where we're all going to be judged by God Almighty. Right? Jesus came as the Savior. He's done everything. The next time he comes, he's not coming as a Savior. He's coming as our judge. And I'm not worried about that. But when I read stuff like this, I kind of say, okay, Jim, let's do a little introspection here. Do you ever not trust God? Yeah. Are you ever mad at God because he didn't do it the way you thought he should do it? Yeah. Do you really think God needs your opinion? No. Well, then what are you doing? Well, I don't know. I'm trying to be a believer, even if I'm not believing. Right? I know you understand what I'm talking about. John goes on to say this, and this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Whoa. I know they didn't want to go into the promised land because they were afraid, and sometimes I've been afraid. you know, through the pandemic, there's times where, you know, I got to not watch the news and not fill my mind with stuff that's polluting me. It's hard. We're afraid. And life is tough. I know that. But life with God against you, that's even tougher. And he makes it not that hard to follow him. We talked about it last week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and then love others as you love yourself. In other words, put God as the CEO of your life. And then when you experience forgiveness and you experience his love, you're a lot more loving and you're more lovable. It's not that complicated, but it is hard. It's two ways to do life. The really hard way, that's called serving God. And then the really, really, really hard way, it's called living the consequences of not serving God. Okay. God is bigger than the giants they faced. And I don't know what giant problem you're facing today. And some of us are, you know, doing well and some of us are broken. But there is a God who cares and there's a God who can make a difference in your life. Last thing I want to talk about, you know, with God, there's so much grace. It's like, oh, this is such a depressing story, but it's not over. I love this. Fast forward 40 years. Yeah, everyone died, but now there's a new generation. And well, that's a problem. But Moses is gone. Aaron's gone. Joshua is now in charge. So they end up back at the place they started. Hey, I need someone to go check out the land. Guess how many spies he sent? Uno, dos. Two. Do you know why he sent two? Because when you send a committee out, committees are not going to do anything that is productive, and committees, for the most part, they absolutely can't make courageous decisions. Everyone in the corporate world is going, hallelujah, I know Jesus here. Of course. So they send out two spies. Here's what they say, I'm paraphrasing. The land is still awesome. It's still flowing with milk and honey. There are more people now, and they're bigger than they were 40 years ago. Well, what do you expect after eating all the food they had? It will be dangerous, but God can do it. Let's hit the gas full throttle and obey. And you know what happened? They actually went into the land that God had promised 40 years earlier. Wow. The problems were big. They just decided to focus on a God that is even bigger. Let me just sum up things. I wrote this, the big idea is God's declaration. I want you to trust me and drive in my lane for your life. I'm going to be with you. My help will be every step along the way. Trust me. Turn from your sins before life comes crashing down, not just for your sake, but for the sake of all of those who trust in you. Last paragraph. This is how I want to live. I don't want to live a moment in the wilderness that God doesn't have planned for me. I want to spend my life in the promise of God. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Two ways to do life, the super hard way and the super, super hard way. But the super hard way is following God. And there's peace in your heart no matter what comes. And this world is not easy. But you can have a peace, the Bible says, that transcends your comprehension and guards your hearts in Christ. I want to spend my life in the promise of God, not only for me, but for my children and my grandchildren, and for the people that I get to serve at Hope Church. I care about you, and I care about your walk with God. And maybe as we close in prayer, you're saying, I need to make a different turn than I'm going. I'm not way off the road, but I need to make a different turn. Maybe someone's saying, you know what, I've already made a U-turn, and I know I'm not going the direction God wants me to go. And I don't know how long I get to live in his grace before things come crashing down. I mean, you can go the wrong way on the highway for a long ways if nobody else is on the highway. But it's the wrong way. And sooner or later, it's not good. Maybe God is actually saying to you, you're doing great, but it was a couple of years ago I asked you to hit the gas and you hit the brakes. It's not that you're doing a whole lot of bad, but you're not doing a whole lot of good either. And our world is reeling in pain and it needs Jesus. And I want to use you. Would you let me do that? I mean, how do you not read this and just kind of go, wow, wow, wow? At Hope Church, we want to give you opportunities to grow. That's why we do Wednesday nights. That's why we have Sunday mornings. That's why we're going to have a great old time playing pickleball. It's to hang out too, right? I love y'all. And boy, isn't it exciting to know that we can learn from those who've gone before us. So we don't have to make the same wilderness mistakes that they made. All right, let's pray together. Wow, Lord. When I think of Valentine's Day, it's all about love, but Valentine's Day is all about you. Loving us and allowing your son to die for us. That's what love is. It's sacrifice. And you have done that for us. And I pray right now, God, if we haven't accepted Jesus Christ into our life, that we would do that right now. We would accept the biggest gift of love we could ever been given. God, if we know we're kind of making a turn that's not going to go, I mean, if we really are honest and we look at where that ends, it's not where we want to be. God, maybe there's some of us, you're saying, you know, you've been sitting in the shadows too long. It's time to step up. It's time to dream. It's time to make a difference in this world. I don't know what God's speaking to you, but I know this as your pastor. I love you, and I'd be honored to pray for you. And if one of the things I'm talking about, you're like, just Pastor Jim, would you just pray for me? Really nothing you're talking about, but I just need prayer for this thing. I want to pray for you. Just look up at me. I'm not going to have you stand up or anything. I just want you to look up at me, and I want to pray for you. Yeah, I'm going to pray a prayer for all of you. Yeah, I love you all so much. I sure want to pray for you. Yeah, make sure we catch eyes. Why? Because if I think about you this week, I'm going to pray for you again. Every time God brings you to my attention this week, I'm going to pray for you again. So, Father, here we are. Maybe we're standing at the land flowing of milk and honey, or maybe we've turned around and we need to get back into that land. Maybe you're saying now it's time to go fight for what you really care about, for your future. God, maybe we're too busy with stuff. God, maybe we're looking at things we ought not to be looking at. God, whatever it is, you said if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us. God, that's why we need one another. We can encourage one another and build up one another. Lord, my prayer is simple. Cause us to take one more step to follow you. Cause us, Lord, to take one more step to follow you and to be in your perfect will for our lives. Thank you for these friends. I lift them up. God, if we've never accepted you, God, may we right now, I confess my sins. I pray that you would become the ruler of my life, that you would not only prepare a place for me in heaven, but you would help me to walk for you on earth. God, we come to you now, humbly and asking for you, like that song, Jesus, take the wheel. Take the wheel, Lord. Amen. Let's stand together.